it'll be worth it all. No matter what we've been through here, when we cross that river, thank God it's going to be worth it all. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. The Lord changed my message that He had for me, I thought, last night, and where He had put me in the Scripture. Changed it this morning, so we just trust Him, because we know that He knows what He's doing when we don't know what's going on. We know that God always does. But Luke chapter 15 this morning, as we think about Father's Day, and as we think about a father's love, I thank God that we have a prime example of a father's love. When we look to our Heavenly Father and we look to His Son, we see the prime example of what a father's love is. Well, you know, the father, just a little bit of the father's heartbreak when we see our kids struggling and going through things in life, how we feel their pain and know their heartaches. But whenever God had to turn His back on His Son, who had always been together, had never been separated, when He had to turn His back upon Him and darkness filled the earth because He had to allow Him to take on sin and He couldn't look upon the sin that His Son was taking for you and me. We talk about a father's love. And thank God that we have an example, the fathers that we can look to give us the pattern for being a father and who to follow. And if we'll follow God, He'll help us. A lot of folks say there's no instruction manual for life. Right here it is. We have it in God's holy word. It will tell us everything we need to know. Between the pages from Genesis to Revelation is the answers to all of man's problems if we'll only turn to it. When we go outside that book and start looking for the answers in other places, then all we find is heartache and trouble because we're not seeking the wisdom of God. But I'm glad that I have a father's love. I'm glad that He gave me an earthly father that taught me right from wrong, that taught me on a hard work and ethics of working to be able to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. And like I said before in a testimony, the hardest thing that I ever done except in having to go on disability. And I told the administrative law judge the day that I had my trial with Him, the hardest thing that I had was I would rather be working than being able to draw a check for not doing anything, because that's not me. That's not what was instilled in me. God gave me a desire to want to work, to be able to provide. And it was instilled in me by my parents that that's what we are supposed to do, and by the sweat of our brow that we'll earn our living. And so, but God, He said that I've provided for you. And it was hard for me to accept that and to be able to go on the disability. But God gave us these things, and God gave us His blessed assurance of knowing if we'll work for Him, we'll strive to do for Him all the things that He's put forth in His Word, He'll bless us. He'll give us strength, and we can be examples even if we might not think so. We are fathers to other children out here that's in this world around us, that we are setting examples, that they're looking to our lives. Like I said, I remember Dennis Franklin and him being a good godly man and coming by and giving chewing gum to the kids and encouragement and things, and how he would lift you up and try to encourage you to go on and to be a good young man or a good young lady and be a good student and all these things. Your fathers and your mothers to all these other kids that are around you, whether you believe it or not, they are looking to you for an example. They're looking at you as what the picture is that God would have a father to be. And we have an awesome responsibility, men, that God has given men that He didn't give women. He did put us over the head to be the head of the house, not to be the slave driver, but for us to be equals and for us to be the head of the house, and that we are responsible for our children, whether they go to church, our wife, whether she goes to church, and that we go with them and that we're spiritual leaders. God has given us an awesome responsibility. Many times I have failed in that responsibility. And if you'll tell the truth, there's been times you failed in that responsibility. But God still loves us, still gives us an opportunity that we can share and teach and learn more about God every day, that we can teach more about God every day. And I've never got to the point in my life where I don't need to know more about Jesus. But I'm just like one of the young men that was in this scripture that we're going to read today. At a time we were living riotously, we were going out and having a worldly good time until we got to the bottom and had to look up and find that there was plenty back at Dad's house, plenty back at the Father's house that we could live and feast upon and have a substance there that wouldn't let us go wanting, that they would be there to be plentiful and to fill us up and to give us life and to sustain our life. And there's only life through Jesus Christ. the Son of God that come bled and died on the cross of Calvary, that we can have life and gave us what true life is really about, the true blood of Christ flowing through our veins by being saved and having our sins covered by His red blood. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." We see representation now of the two natures of man. We see here the two sons, and one got to the age where he wanted to go out on his own. He wanted what his inheritance was going to be, and he wanted to go out and do his own thing. Have we not all been there at some point in time? I can't wait till I'm old enough to do my own thing. That's what I used to think, I'll tell you that. Whenever I was growing up, boy, I can't wait till I'm 18 and I can do my own thing. But God had different plans, because at the age of 17, I got saved, and He had plans that were different for me at the age of 18 than what I thought they were going to be. I want to get out and do my thing. And like I told you, I wanted to join the military, and all that was crushed whenever I got diabetes. I wanted to be a helicopter pilot, and of course all that went by the wayside. But God had bigger plans in store than what Brad knew about, and what Brad had in store for Brad's life. God had other things in store for Brad's life. And sometimes it was hard to accept, because I really had my heart's desire on going into that military and doing those things that I wanted to do. God had a different plan. God had a different plan. I wanted to take my division, and I wanted to take my way and go my path and do the things that I wanted to do without consulting God, without listening to Mom and Dad's guidance on it. They didn't really ever say a whole lot about it. When I'd talk about it, they were probably praying in the back of their minds, "Lord, we don't want him to go there, do this, do whatever, but give him a different career," or whatever it was. But I know that they didn't have to worry about that, because God had a different plan. And God had a different purpose for my life. But I was just like this young man. I wanted my portion. I wanted to do my own thing. Do we not still do the same thing with God? God, I want it my way, and I want to do it my way, but I don't want to listen to you, but I want to have what you've got in store for me, but I want to do it my way. It don't work that way, does it? No, God will let us go just as far as we want to. He will. He'll love us all the time, and He'll let us just go out and do anything and everything we want to. We won't be happy in it. All the time in the back of our mind, if we're truly His child, we're not going to be enjoying it. We're not going to be enjoying our time out being righteous and doing things that's against God. We're not going to enjoy it. We may act like we do at the time, but we're not going to really enjoy it. We're going to know all the time that this is not right. This is not right in what I'm doing. And this young man, he went here, it says now in verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living." Now we do the same thing. Now we say, "Oh no, my faith's strong. If I was just walk away from God right now, I don't believe I'd make those bad decisions. I wouldn't do that." Let me tell you, we make bad decisions when we're walking with God every day. On your own, you're not going to make the right decision. I'll just tell you that. On my own, sometimes I don't make the right decision. If I don't consult God, it's not the right decision. It's not the right decision. There's things that's in His will, and we know His word, and we know what His will is, and we make decisions based upon that. We're working upon the will of God. But when we know God said, "You don't need to do this," and we do it anyway, we're making bad decisions. He went to a far country. And that's the way we do. We're right in the presence of God, but many times we'll travel far away from Him to be able to do our own thing. Think we're out of His sight and out of mind, but God's watching us the whole time. God sees us, because He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. We're not going to go hide in a dark corner and be able to get by with sin and have it in our life and live out here just any old way. God's watching. God's watching our life. And we want to be blessed to God and live our way. It don't go hand in hand. We got to live God's way, then He'll bless us God's way. But it took His journey into a far country. Many times we walk far away from God to be able to do the things that we want to do. Because when we start getting calloused, and we go far enough, then the wrong don't seem so wrong anymore. There's people in this community, there's people in this county that have said what they're doing is right for so long, though it's been wrong, they're calloused off, and they don't even see what wrong is anymore. But that's what happens when sin enters. "And when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." I think we're in want in America today. I think we have wasted the blessings of God as America and whole, as a whole in general. We have wasted the blessings of God. We have wasted the substance that God has given us with riotous living, with doing things and leaving God out of it, not considering that we are supposed to be one nation under God. Whether people want to recognize it or not, all nations are nations under God. Even the heathen nations that don't heed His call, they are still under God's command. They are still under God's control, even though they don't recognize Him. And you say, well, how in the world can they be under God's control in the things that's happening? Because He allows them, because of disobedience, to be in the areas that they're in, the famine that's going on, the heartbreak and the things that we're seeing going on, because they are not proclaiming the true God that is on the throne today. And they're living any old way and wasting and righteous living the substance that God has in store for them. God has a blessing for all the nations of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. But they must recognize Him and not try to war against Him and His elect. Amen. When you stand against God, you stand defeated, because God is victorious. And said, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. There's a famine in the land of America today. There's a famine across the world today for the word. But there's people in faraway nations that's across the waters from us that are hungry, that are seeking and searching for the word of God. Welcoming in the Word of God, that are being receptive to the missionaries coming, preaching and wanting to hear the Word of God. Many of them putting their life on the line to be able to hear the Word preached in a meeting that might be held in somebody's basement so they won't be persecuted because of where they're at. But we're wasting our substance today with riotous living in America because we keep thumbing our nose at God. I'll do it my way, and I'll do it as long as I want to, and I don't care what you say, God. I'll do it my way. Well, Frank Sinatra sung that song, and he lived, and he done his things his own way. But I'll guarantee you this, you won't get to heaven doing it your own way. You may try, but you will fail. You have to go God's way, and you have to go through His Son, Jesus Christ, the open door, the truth and the life, and the light to man that man didn't comprehend. But he just began to be in want. Are you in want? I know a lot of times we hear that I remember how it was in the good old days. Why do they have to be the good of the old days? Why can't they be the here's and the now's? Why can't we serve the same God that our forefathers served? Why can't we have the humbleness that our forefathers served? Just because we've got more in our houses, it takes up our time, does that make us better than them? No, it makes us less, because we should have more time to praise God. Let me tell you, we don't have to go hitch up the tractor. Amen. And feed it grain and water it. All we got to do is jump on it and hit the starter. And if the battery ain't dead, she'll start. And she's got fuel in her. And you go and do your chores. Air conditioning in a tractor and a radio will play it. They may be playing John Denver about being a country boy going down through there. Any of you ever seen that movie, Son-in-Law and Crawl and hitting the tape deck and playing? Well, never mind, that's a whole different story. But we've got it so easy. So easy. We go down the road in our cars with the radial tires and air conditioning, and yet we got less time to spend visiting our friends and loved ones than we've ever had before. Why? Why? Because we got to pay for that stuff. I got to worry about my job tomorrow. If I'm going to be able to make it, I got to rest up. I can't spend that time going to visit. Why? I need that time to sleep. Let me tell you, you get some of this stuff off your mind and leave it behind, God will give you a restful night's sleep. You do a little bit for God and He'll rock you to sleep and give you peace in your mind. It won't be racing. That all you got to do. You ever wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, think about what you got to do tomorrow? Or today, I guess it would be the same thing. You wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, it'd be today. And your mind gets set up on that, and then you get all worked up, and you lay there, and you see 3 o'clock come, 4 o'clock come. 4:30, you fall back asleep, you need to be up at 6, and when 6 o'clock comes, oh, you could sleep all day. I know I ain't the only one that had that happen, because I heard you chuckle. But we're wasting our substance with righteous living, and we're in want. Our churches are in want. Christians are in want because we're not walking as close as we could. We can always get closer to God. In verse 15 it says, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." Oh, that was a low job. Going to feed the swine. Going to feed the swine. "And he would have feigned, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Ain't it funny when sometimes that you really need help, there ain't nobody around to help? "Well, I'd help you, but. I mean, we can't even get a glass of water. Everybody's got an excuse why we can't help. We're always so busy. So busy taking care of our desires that we don't have time to see somebody else's need. I'm glad that God sees our need all the time. And I'm glad that God even fills a lot of my wants most of the time. And I'm thankful for the times he says, "You don't need that." And I have to accept his no answer because he gives me more in the long run than what the short term would have been for my decision. But he would have filled his belly with the husk. Can you imagine jumping into a hog trough and eating with them because that's all you had? I'm above that. I'd starve to death first. You ain't never been that hungry, evidently, when he got to that point in time. "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" You know, whenever I come to the point where I realized I was lost and needed to be saved, I knew all the goodness that God had. Had I accepted it yet? No, because I was right there on the decision point. I was right there teetering back and forth between heaven and hell and making the right decision, the right choice. And I knew that it was Jesus. But until it entered into my heart and my mind that I needed him, that I was nothing without him, and with him I was everything, because he loved me and died for me and would give me the treasures of heaven and the blessings of heaven. When I realized that and weighed that out against what Satan had, I knew that God was the answer. Did I run? Yes, I run. Even though I knew in my head, knew in my heart what I needed to do, this flesh still run because it still wanted to do what Brad wanted to do. But there was still that longing, still that emptiness, and I knew that Jesus was the only one that could fill it. But here he was, and it says when he came to himself. Now, I've said it, about the age of 25 is when you begin to start becoming smart. Things mom and dad said seemed to be more right. The things you thought seemed to be more wrong. And you think they really knew what they were talking about when they were telling me these things. Because that's what time it was for me. And that was about the time that God called me to preach. That your mindset changes. And you start seeing more of what God has in store. And every day that you live, that you try to get closer to God, you get a little wiser, a little more humble, a little more realizing that, hey, without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I'm sat down at the pig trough, eating out of the slop with the pigs. But with him, I'm seated at a king's table at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and served by the one that died for me and going to gird himself in service once again. That's a pretty good trade, if you ask me. Trading the slop of the world for the fineness of the king. "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." He knew he was no more worthy. He had took his inheritance and had wasted it. We see bitter arguments between siblings over inheritance to the point it splits families. And this could have split this family. The older son, he's going to have a little remorse and regret for his brother and sorrow and jealousy. But his father lets him know that he's going to be with him always. Has all of his inheritance still intact. But his younger brother needs him. Needs him. "He's no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." He didn't even want to be restored to the sonship. Just Just put me on the payroll and feed me. That's all I want. Just to be back at your house. Just to be fed as the other servants. It says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This is the pattern that God has given us for a father with love. He loved his son enough that he gave him his desire and what he requested. He allowed him to go out and to make his own failures. Whether he succeeded or failed, he let him go. But when he had wasted everything and had came to his senses, he said, I'll go back to my father. When the father saw him coming from a great way off, he had compassion. Compassion. He didn't sit there with sarcasm when he saw him coming and started hollering at him and said, what'd you do, blow it all? You ain't welcome around here. I done gave you all you're going to get. You might as well just keep on trucking. No, the father didn't respond that way. When he saw him a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. He received him back into his house. He put his best robe upon him. Now can you imagine how dirty he might have been? He'd been down in the field with the swine. Oh, we think, oh, that's a dirty animal, boy. We like that bacon sausage. They waller in the mud, and they'll eat anything you put before them. But boy, we like to eat what they produce. It's pretty good stuff. But you imagine how dirty he must have been when he was coming. He said, bring the best robe. Bring a ring and put it on his finger. Get the fatted calf and kill it. We're going to have a celebration because my son has returned. He showed his love, and they began to be merry. Now, was the father heartbroken that his son probably had went out and wasted all this, as it says? Yes. He wasn't happy with the decisions he made, but he wasn't condemning him when he returned. He brought him in, maybe so he could show him the way, maybe that he could teach him from his mistakes. Sometimes that's the only way that we're going to learn. We have to make the mistakes. Though we listen to what mom and dad says, we think, yeah, I know that you said, this is what you're doing, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to do it my way. We've all had those thoughts. And then we realized, boy, you know, they were right. They were right. Experience is talking. Experience is talking. And it's hard to admit when we're young and full of all the ideas of the world, we got all the answers. It was hard for this young man to come to himself and return to his father's house, knowing he'd wasted it all. He didn't know how his father would react, but he still came back the same way and ask for forgiveness and ask to be put in as a hired servant. But he said, I'm not having that. You're still my child. And they had a celebration. He said he was dead and now is alive again. Was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured all thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And sometimes as Christians, we act the same way. Well, God, I've walked with you all this time. I've never got out of your will. I've never backslidden. I've never just not went to church. I've always come all that I possibly could, unless I was sick or we were on vacation or whatever it might be. I've been always at church, and yet here comes this new feller along, been in drugs and alcohol, wasted everything that you've ever had for him, wasted it with harlots and wild living and partying and all these other things, and he comes in and you're going to save him the same way that you saved me, and I've never done all that stuff. Yes, that's just the way God works. Whether we're the vilest sinner there is, or whether we've been in church all of our life, we still have to know Jesus to go to heaven. Because I was just as vile as the one that was doing the drugs in the ditch this morning. I was still lost without Jesus. I was wasting what God had intended for me, though at the age of 17 I was saved. I'd still wasted 17 years. You say, well, now, hey, you didn't waste all that. You had to come to an age of accountability. True. But still yet, though I'd been to church all that time, that did not get me saved. God's Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ's blood. Now, all the other was beneficial that I knew about God, that I knew about Jesus, and I knew about His salvation. And I knew all these things, but until I come to Jesus and said, here I am. I'm yours. If you will have me, I want your salvation. I want to be saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I confess you with my mouth. I believe you in my heart. That you are the only begotten Son of God that came, bled, and died at Calvary to save an unworthy sinner like me. Until I come to that point and realized I was still lost. But when I prayed that prayer, God changed me from the inside out. He gave me a different desire. He set me up on the pedestal and put a robe on me and a ring upon my finger and a crown upon my head. It said a crown of life. Thank God for the crown of life. I know I have at least one to lay back at Jesus' feet. I hope there's many more. There's four others it talks about in the Bible besides the crown of life. Now, having the crown of a martyr, I don't know that I'll ever earn that one. You probably won't either. I don't know in America we'll ever have to give our life for the cause of Christ, but we may at some point in time. But I know there's others that I can lay up in store there that I can lay back at His feet. Because I'm not worthy to have those crowns, but He is. But whenever I came and started back on the way and turned around from the path I was traveling with Satan and looked back to the Father's house, Jesus saw me. He had compassion. He ran to where I was at and put a robe upon my back and a crown upon my head and made me a son. An heir and joint heir with Him to the Heavenly Father's home. This morning, have you returned and looked back to the Father's house? He has blessings in store for you beyond compare. He'll take off the worldly garments that you have on you that are His rags and put upon you royal garments. He'll place upon you His mark that says, that's my child. And Satan, you can't have him. But this morning, will you look back to the Father's house? If you're wayward and turned and walked away from God and left Him at some point in time in your life, God is right where you left Him, waiting for your return to Him with His arms stretched open wide, waiting to be able to have that compassion, waiting to pour His love out upon you, waiting to say, welcome back, child. I love you. I've missed you. And I'm glad you're home. As we get a song of invitation ready this morning. Are you here and you're lost and undone without Jesus? Or maybe you know Jesus as your Savior, but you've went out into the world and you're wasting the benefits of God. You're wasting the blessings of God because you're living righteous and out of God's will. It's time to look back to the Father's house. It's time to return and allow Him to wrap His arms of love about you and place upon you that untainted garment. To place upon you the crown of life. To return you to the place that is rightfully yours in God's family. As we stand to our feet, if you're here this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Are you here this morning lost and undone without Jesus?